Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
What's everybody? It's Tyrone Tan here on Staros Entertainment.tv, Indy100.com Radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world. And then been tuning to my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're the cool, beautiful talent, such as my guest of the hour, Isabella Blake Thomas, who's been on the show before, who not only is a lovely actress, but a filmmaker, a producer, a writer, all that kind of good stuff. We're going to be bringing her in. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starosentertainment.tv. That's www.starosentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see your in-studio photos, such as our lovely guest of the hour, Isabella Blake Thomas, go to our Facebook page over at Staros Entertainment. And then also, if you like the music we're going to be playing, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. Or if you just want to send some nice things that we could read off the air, I always like doing that every so often. Like seeing all the people from around the world and nice, saying some nice, cool, positive things, and we just like to read them off sometimes. And then last but not least, if you want to hit me up on socials, that's at TyroneTan, TyroneTann over on formerly known as Twitter, which is now X. And then thanks to the hacker there, at Tyrone Tan Official over on Instagram. And then if you really want, there's also this new thing called Threads, at Tyrone Tan Official on Threads. And then if you really, really want to hit me up on Facebook, that's Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. So without further ado, what we're going to do, first I want to say thank you to all our lovely guest co-hosts, because we rotate and bring in, this is where I'll bring in my guest co-host of the hour, but my guest co-host is actually working on a project. So I just wanted to, what I'm going to do is just bring in my guest pretty quickly, and then we're going to maybe do some little banter, maybe some quick movie reviews and that kind of good stuff, and then we'll go into her little story. So without further ado, I'm just going to bring in this awesome guest. Again, she's been on the show before. She's a dear friend. I've got to see her blossom into this industry and this career in the last several years, and I'm just very fascinated by her and all that she's done. She's got this cool, well, number one, she's has a movie called Karma that's out, and then she's got this other obviously a lot of people, a lot of fans from the Disney world, the Secret Society of Second Born Royales, and then she's got this cool upcoming documentary called The Story of Terry Moore, aka The Story of Terry Moore, the last living legend of Hollywood, and that she produced, and that, which was just actually just getting like raves over attention over at the Holly Shorts Film Festival that just came out just like a couple weeks ago. And so yeah, and then she's got so much stuff that we're going to talk about. So I'm just going to bring her in, and then that way we could just like talk to her about a lot of her stuff that, even if you missed the last show, we can refresh yourselves for those that missed that. And she's just an all-around great person and a lovely human being, but most of all, she's a dear friend of mine. So here she is. I think I'm going to bring her in very traditional style, because she is part of the Disney Royale family, so to speak. So I thought maybe we'd bring her in on the Cinderella-esque carriage, like we've done before on some of these guests, make her feel special. So I'm just going to whistle in on the horses and then just bring in this guest. So here she is. On count of three, I'm going to open up that hatch, bring in the princess carriage, so to speak. And here we go. One, two, three. All right, here she comes into the studio. She's all waving to all the fans there outside. Oh, look at all that. Look at that. Oh, she's stopping for some selfies. Oh, look at that. Signing some autographs. People throwing roses at her. Guys, I don't know if she's taking, guys. I don't know. We have to talk. We have to ask her. Here she is coming down like a little princess. coming down tiny steps as she waves, taking some photos. The pops are out. The paps are out it out there. She's walking in like a Disney royal princess. Here she is, my dear friend, actress, filmmaker, producer, extraordinaire, the lovely Isabella Blake Thomas. Welcome, Isabella Blake Thomas, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN.
Hello,
sweetheart.
Thank you so much for having me. That wonderful royal entrance.
Yeah, well, we had to do it up because, you know, like you said, it's there's something about you that just screams royal presence.
I think it's the accent. Yeah, if I'm being 100% honest with you. It's the accent.
Also, but you sparkle. You know, it's funny. I was walking from my car, and you were in the right sunlight. And you had this really cool glow. Like, it was like the sunset glow, like,
yes,
right at the right angle and the right. And I turned around and you turned around and it was like this commercial. It was
kind of, love magic hour.
It was like, if I had a camera to film something, a commercial, it was like great. Like the jeans were glittery. And then it was really cool.
Oh, that's
really
awesome.
Really. I'm not joking. I actually was like, that's actually a really good shot. And you just turned around slowly. Like,
I should have had my own theme music. I should just constantly carry a speaker that plays my theme music the whole time.
Well, welcome, Isabella Blake Thomas. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
And it's great because I got to see you not too long ago.
Yes.
At the Holly Shorts film, which was
the 8th.
Yeah, was that
a few weeks ago?
No, but it was their what is it? Their
opening night.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it was their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, 20th anniversary.
That's right. Because I've been covering that for years, but I was trying to keep track of everyone's festivals. But
yeah,
I think that one is a special one.
It is.
So it's quite great to see you on the opening night. But you also been on here before, and then your mom, who
yeah,
I want to say a big shout out to, Elizabeth.
Yes,
Elizabeth Thomas.
Blake Thomas. It's okay. Blake Thomas is the full name. It is both of them all together.
Yeah, and so and it's funny because every time, like, what helps me not confuse your guys' names is social, because
yes,
I'll see Isabella and then Elizabeth, and then what she goes like, she's like hyphened or something, like, or like hyphen, but like she goes,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. We have our underscores. Our Instagrams are pretty much identical username wise, so it is a little confusing.
Yeah.
But I think the helpful thing is once you look at the photos of my dog on my mom's Instagram page, it gets easier to decipher.
Which is awesome. So what we're gonna do before we get into the nitty gritty with you, but we normally we'll bring on my guest co-host. My guest co-host actually was off doing working on a project.
Fantastic.
But so what gives this allows me to do is allow to kind of do a little bit of banter with you.
Great.
And I know what we normally do, we do a couple of little movie reviews really quick. So really quickly, have you by any chance seen any movies lately in the theater?
I have. I actually recently watched Deadpool and Wolverine.
Ooh.
I know, I got to watch it at Harmony Gold too, which
is a
great theater. For those who haven't seen it, it's seen the theater before. It's a massive theater. And watching Deadpool there was great fun.
Awesome. Well, again, so here's a little thing, and I know I've talked about this, but I haven't gotten your input on this. So it's called Deadpool and Wolverine, rated R. Thanks to IMDb. Here's a little quick synopsis. Deadpool is offered a place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe by the Time Variance Authority, but instead recruits a variant of Wolverine to save his universe from extinction. Directed by Sean Levy and starring the awesomes Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. And there's also Emma Corrin is in this thing. I'm afraid to say people because
I know we can't do spoilers.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of people that've seen it, and then there's some people haven't. So
yes,
why don't we hold it as those three at least for now?
I agree.
So at least people know Hugh Jackman is in it, and
yes,
they know
exactly.
And Ryan Reynolds and Emma Corrin. At least they know that. Let's leave for those that have not gotten to see it, because I know there's a lot that have and it's been doing well, but there's a lot that still haven't. You know, just they haven't had time to go to the theaters. It's hard for some people, you know, sometimes because it's just, especially if they have families or kids or whatever.
Well, and theatrical runs seem to be so short nowadays.
Yeah.
Where they used to be like a month long, it now feels like within 2 weeks they're gone out of the theater.
Oh.
And if you don't have any time in those 2 weeks, it's just there's no hope.
There's one big, I'm not going to say, one big movie, the big all-star cast, cost $100 million, did not do very well. It's already coming out like on like streaming like in about 2 weeks. I was like, whoa, it just literally came out. And so, but anyway, so I got to see Deadpool and Deadpool Wolverine twice.
Wow.
Back, actually, 2 days in a row. So nice. I was very fortunate to kind of like, I mean, because the first time I saw it, I think, a midnight show, and it just...
Oh, great.
The theater that I saw was just a very... Not the most enthusiastic theater. And it was like, you can't watch
Marvel without...
Yeah, and then they were just, I don't know if they were just tired, and I was like, why am I laughing more than this? It's got to be better than, like, yeah, better...
With Marvel audiences, like, I watched, Endgame in the theaters, and that was a great energy, because all the Marvel fans, you expect them to be enthusiastic. You can't watch Marvel without enthusiasm. Yeah, yeah.
And so then I went the next day, earlier show, and that was like a fantastic audience. And I was like, okay, great. I go, was it me, or just people were not? I mean, it was just like...
All the difference.
So anyways, but it was great. So I got to see it, and you got to see it.
I did.
So what did you think of this movie?
I mean, I love Marvel. I love the MCU. I've seen all of the movies in chronological order, which was fun. I didn't watch them in release order. I watched them in the Marvel Universe timing order, which was quite cool. So I was watching things as they were supposed to be happening in the timeline, which was awesome experience. And so for me, I fell in love with Deadpool. I mean, who doesn't love Ryan Reynolds? I just, he's wonderful. And so I fell in love with Deadpool, loved the humor, loved the comedy, loved breaking the fourth wall, loved the writing, loved the acting. The production design was fantastic and all the special effects. And so when this new one came out, I was really excited to watch it because I'm terrible to say that I haven't actually seen any of the Wolverine movies.
Oh, wow.
So I was very excited to watch it because I haven't actually seen Hugh Jackman as Wolverine yet.
Wait, you never seen X-Men? Really? No. Oh, wow.
I know. Okay. I've stayed in the MCU of the more, I guess, modern MCU, as it were, the Avengers era. And so X-Men for me was a new addition. And so watching it, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really loved the comedy. It was definitely, like, it very much felt like a fan piece because of how many great cameos there are that we won't spoil, other than that there were fantastic cameos and Easter eggs that I definitely Googled afterwards to make sure I hadn't missed any.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it, honestly. It was laughing. It was emotional. I like the dog. I don't think the dog's a spoiler.
Yeah. It was called Pull Dog?
Mary Poppins.
Oh, that's right.
Mary Poppins.
That's awesome. But cool. So is this something you would highly recommend checking out in the theater?
Yeah, I would say definitely watch it. I think absolutely watching it in the theater is a must for the first time. Yeah. At least then once you've seen it once, you can then watch it on a screen when it comes out at some point on a screen on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But right now, definitely, if it's in the theaters, 100% go watch it. It's for the fans. It's a great piece. And again, who doesn't love watching Ryan Reynolds? And who doesn't love looking at Hugh Jackman as Wolverine? I mean, come on.
Yeah. No. Have you gotten to meet any of them yet?
Not yet. I was so close to meeting Ryan Reynolds on a project he recently did, and I was prepared to say, oh, you're Blake Lively's husband. Yeah. But it didn't happen, so I have to save that in my back pocket for the next
time. Gotcha. Yeah, I've not met Ryan. I have had a pleasure meeting Hugh Jackman. Nice gentleman.
Oh, fantastic.
Just like yourself. Very nice.
Oh, thank you.
But no, not Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds, I mean, I know people that know him, but it's like one of those things. But he's been around. It's interesting. When I see I remember watching him as a teenager.
Yeah.
He used to be on this like teenage soap, like on like Nickelodeon or
That's
something.
Great.
And it's like, and it's funny because I think I forgot that was him. And then like someone did some retro on him. I'm like, wait, I remember that show specifically. And you know, it's just interesting to see how long some people like that have.
Well, and it kind of proves that tenacity is worth it. Like I make the joke at the moment, which I think applies to a couple of the people that I know. And it's a constant inside joke between us all, but it's the people that have been in LA with my generation for these past 10, nearly 15 years. And I say we're either really tenacious or really stupid because we've been here for so long. But I look at people like Ryan Reynolds and you go, okay, he's been doing it for so long. And look at how amazing his career is now that it makes you want to keep going, which is why I say to people, please stick it out because it is worth it at the end
of the day. Which is
going to
be cool because I could foresee right now, years from now, when you're going to be one of those Oscar-winning talents like Meryl Streep and stuff like that, or like a filmmaker, and then someone goes, "I remember watching Isabella Blake Thomas on this Disney show back in the day."
I can foresee that happening, and I feel like that's something that people don't realize, and especially I think when you're in it too, you don't realize that this will be the thing of the past. Be the thing. I mean, there's already people digging up the first show I ever did. I was like 4 years old, and it was part of a lot of kids' childhoods
which
in the UK called the Green Balloon Club.
The Green Balloon Club.
Yeah, it was a kids' show about recycling and looking after the planet, and so for me, like
Wow,
show. it was a kids show while I was a kid, and so I hadn't realized that I was such a huge part of so many kids' childhoods.
Was this a US show?
No, it was UK.
Okay, UK.
It's
UK, okay.
It's where I started. And so now I get tagged in videos on TikTok of like childhood nostalgia things you forgot about, and then it's like me singing a song in that show age 4, and I'm like, wow, I'm nostalgic.
Well, that's kind of like the Selena Gomez thing with Barney.
Yes.
When she was on Barney, and then
and like Demi Lovato being on Barney, is these people that pop up, and I'm like, wow, I'm already nostalgic.
That's awesome.
I peaked.
Well, cool. So okay, so you recommend checking out Deadpool and Wolverine. I recommend checking out Deadpool and Wolverine if you can in the theaters. And for those that haven't, I think you'll have a blast. Again, it's rated R. Again, it's Deadpool and Wolverine. Again, starring Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman.
And it is definitely rated R. 100% is absolutely rated R.
Check it out. All right, so now we're gonna get to the nitty gritty, my friend. So you've been on here before, and again, for those that missed the show, and then maybe they just want to tune in again to listen to your lovely voice, because I really like your accent, and I'm sure a lot of people just like, but the our regular listeners that like I said, sometimes, you know, miss it and or they just want to recap on things.
Yes.
We want to always start off with this hard-hitting question, Isabella Blake Thomas, and the hard-hitting question is, where are you born and raised?
Where was I born and raised? It is a great question. I was born and raised in London, England. I grew up there. My birth certificate says London, England on it, as does my passport. And I moved to the US when I was 10. So I would say I was born and raised in London, but the second half of my raising was done in beautiful Hermosa Beach, California.
Now, did you know growing up you always wanted to be in showbiz?
100%. I mean, my mum...
Well, if you're 4 years old doing a show already...
Exactly. I mean, my mum taught theatre.
Okay.
So I was the first one in my family to go into film, and my mum followed suit. But I was around her drama classes, and I was around all these kids doing theatre, and there was just something about it that as a kid, like getting to play for a living and do that as a job was just an awesome concept. And so we had a friend who recommended that I go for an audition, and my mum said, yeah, if you want to do it, we'll go for it. And at 4, I was like, that sounds fun. So I went for the audition and I booked it, and that was my first show.
Wow. Wow. So your mom
never looked back.
Obviously, but and this is the cool thing that people that don't know, your mom's also a filmmaker.
She is.
So she's also, it's so great. She's a big support group, which a lot of times, you know, you're very fortunate because there's a lot of people out there that are in the business that their parents don't want them to be in the industry.
Correct.
And so it's very cool because when I see you guys, not only on the carpets, but out just, personally, it's always really great to see how close-knit you guys are.
Yeah.
And to know that you guys have that support, because I think that also helps in the growth of the in the industry, but also your careers, because you guys would both understand the ups and downs of it, and then it's relatable. Whereas some
parents, very much so,
where like some parents have nothing to do with the industry, so they're not going to really relate to when you're like, I didn't get a part, and you're like, oh, well, whatever, move on.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, it meant a lot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a part I really wanted. Well, yeah, I mean, for me, my mum got into film directing when I was about 10 or 11, like when we moved to the US. That was when she discovered that she really liked it, because she had been my chaperone on set. She was never like a stage mum. She was always just there as support. Yeah, yeah. She was never been my mummager, as they call them. And so she was my chaperone on set, and just being around film and seeing how it was done, she absolutely fell in love with it. And so for us then to be making stuff together was just an extra bonus. So when she started directing, she wanted to make stuff with me and put me in the movies, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If I'm your daughter, why wouldn't you want to put me in movies? So we were making stuff together, but she fell in love with it and I was already in love with it, and it just meant that we were able to keep making these beautiful things. And that was a while ago, and so fast forward to now, we have a production company. Yep. And here we are,
which is called Mother Daughter Productions. Correct?
Mother Daughter Entertainment.
Mother Daughter Entertainment.
Yes,
forgive me,
MDE for short.
Mother Daughter Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to get into, like what you guys are all up to. But
yeah.
So let's say, so you get in the business, who are your inspirations aside from your, let's say, mom, if it was anyone else but your mom?
I mean, age 4, I don't think I even knew what the word inspiration meant. But for me, continuing and staying in it is really actors like Emma Stone, Dustin Hoffman, Julie Andrews, honestly, Ryan Reynolds and Blake
Really?
Lively.
Okay.
Like their longevity, like we were saying, is very much a huge inspiration for me, because this industry is hard. Like there's more no's than there are maybes. And so just to get to this point where I've been here for 12 years now, and I've had some amazing moments in my career, like Disney Plus and ABC and Showtime and HBO, and I mean amazing jobs that I've booked. But life is so crazy, like COVID happened and then there was a strike, and I mean there are so many different things that happen in the world, and so it really is about tenacity. So those people for me are like people that have really stuck it out for the long haul, and I admire them for that. So they would be my idols.
So as you kind of mentioned it before, so when you started off like at like four, like doing this show called like the Green Balloon Club, which is in the UK. when was the point you felt this could be it for you for the rest of your life? Because you could have just easily just gone into it. Because for some, I know it could be just a hobby that they do for kids, and then they really want to be a lawyer, and then they're like, oh, this is something I wanted to do, and it was fun. I got doing it. Now, when did you know was there a point that says I really want to do this for the rest of my life versus like, oh, thanks, Mom. That was great. And I'm really out of it.
I mean, I think there is one for me that's coming to mind. Like, it's not, I don't remember sitting there going, oh, yes, this is it. But I remember this is still one of the films that I probably love the most. I'm the most proudest of to today. Is a film I did when I was 8 years old called Little Glory. And it was with the wonderfully talented actor Cameron Bright and Astrid Wetnall. And it was European indie film, but it was set in the US. So we filmed in Belgium and Canada. We filmed in Saskatchewan and Regina, which was very cold at the time, but it was a beautiful place to visit. And that movie for me changed my perspective on film, because up until then I hadn't done drama. I'd focused on maybe supporting roles in drama, or I'd been leads in TV shows, but it was very much more of an upbeat world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, getting into a drama like Little Glory, it really opened up a different perspective on film for me, and seeing how everyone was professional. And I was the youngest one on set. I was the only kid. So I was really around these very talented professional actors the whole time. And it really just told me like, yeah, I want to be that when I grow up. I want to do that. So that film holds a special place in my heart.
Oh, that's awesome.
I also had my birthday on set for that one. So
oh, really? Yeah. It's always special. It's always something memorable when you have like a special occasion. Yeah. Obviously you've done so much through the years. And I think when I met you, mm-hmm. For people who are factoid, it was you were promoting your first short? Or
Unseen, yeah.
Unseen, short, yes. Yeah. That was when I first, quote unquote, realized who you were, and we got to meet, and we'll give a shout out to, I think it was at the Cindy Cowens.
It was Cindy Cowens' office.
And she's number one, an awesome human being, just like yourself and your mom. So I want to give her a shout out. But I remember walking to her production office, and we were all set up in her office, and you had the poster. And that was when I first got introduced to who you were.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. They asked the publicist at the time, they said, hey, do you mind interviewing? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, taken back of how mature and how professional you were. And I don't even, how old were you? I'm trying to remember.
This was 2019, I think, or 2018. So I would have been, oh no, it would have been 2019. I was I was 16. I was 16 in 2019. Yeah, I was 16 turning 17.
I know at that point you had just got the Disney, the movie.
Yeah, I couldn't talk about
it.
I
remember going, anything upcoming? And you're like, and you literally, it just happened, I think that week. And you were like going, there is something, but we can't talk about it.
That might have been like just when I got back from filming, because I filmed in 2019.
Okay.
And then, it was either like right before I left or right after I got back. Like I couldn't say anything. They hadn't announced it yet. And I just completely, my lips were sealed. And I was like, I just want to tell people.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's awesome. But so that was my, so it was called Unseen.
Yeah.
And what made you, inspired you, again, you from acting and then at such a young age already making your own films? Because you directed that, right? No.
No, Unseen, I was just a producer and acted in it. My mom directed it.
But still, that's still a producer. Yeah. Like for at that age, to be like, I want to be a producer. That's a big...
it's funny because Unseen was our first short. We dove right into features when we started producing, and for me, producing a short, what it really showed me was that it's kind of just the same amount of work. It's just you shoot for less days, and sometimes the budget is lower, but not all the time, because shorts can get really pricey. So for me, it was definitely an interesting experience because it just showed me that it wasn't too different from what I'd already been doing. But I made the jump from acting and added in producing to my IMDb credits because I just love being on set. Like at the end of the day, I love movies and I love making them. And so having the ability to just keep making stuff, whether it's me being in front of the camera or behind it, was I wanted to find any way I could do that possible. So I've tried first ADing, which I thoroughly enjoy as well, producing, and then acting. And I would say those are my three like on set jobs that I absolutely adore.
Awesome. And then when you got that, so for those that don't know, when you that was the time period when you got, which is a big thing, I think, for you at the time, and in general, you got the Disney, what would you call it? Was it the movie?
Disney Plus original movie.
It was called Secret Society of Second Born Royales. Yeah. What was like getting part of something, obviously such a big, you know, studio like Disney, but also just being part of something where they're like, hey, you're not allowed to, it's like almost like getting like a Marvel movie in a way, or a Star Wars movie, like, you know, they couldn't reveal it at all. And I just remember someone had mentioned something, and then as months went by, and then I saw a poster of you. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, that's probably the one that she's talking about. And because I started following you at that point, since we were like, you know, became friends at that point. But then I was like, what is this? And then finally you were like teasing, here's a little glimpse. And then I was like, oh, and then I was almost like really proud, because it was like that moment when you see someone that was like, I had met someone and I had posted about him like a while back, and all of a sudden the same person ends up being the lead in the new Star Wars Force Awakens. But when they did the teaser, he pulls off the helmet, and you know, and then I did a flashback photo with the guy, and people are like, I go, and now they're all liking it. I'm going, this is the same guy I posted like about a year, 2 years ago. No one cared about. Now he's like, now he's starring in Star Wars. But it's kind of funny. But I love seeing that stuff when it's like you're kind of like seeing someone on the brisk of something about to break. What was it like now getting something like that and then being part of that kind of, you know, like fantasy world?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Disney is an awesome family to be a part of. I think the fact that they kind of own the world just makes it even better. But Disney is so iconic and so classic in just film and animation and princesses and all of the above and more, that for me, being part of that family in any capacity was always a dream of mine, was always on my bucket list. Mm-hmm. And then for Secret Society, the audition process was quite long, because I jumped in more towards the end, because that's just where my team put me in at the auditions. But the auditions, I learned later, were massive open calls that were like global. Like, I had friends in England auditioning for these roles that like didn't have representation. So it was a massive open casting call initially. And then when they kind of shrunk it down and they were on like the whatever fourth, fifth callbacks, that's when I jumped in. And then I was in there until I booked it. And so for me, getting that experience and like just going through the motions to booking it, I think almost made the win so much more special.
Yeah.
Because I put in the time to do it. I did the auditions. I put in the time to go to all the chemistry reads and all of the pairing and mix and matches and director sessions. And I mean, that was like the full, if you're going to explain to someone what a full audition process looks like, that was it. And the funny thing is, I actually thought I messed up my first audition. Like, I walked out and I was like, I definitely don't have that. I screwed that up. This is not going well. Yeah. I don't have this job. And then I found out like 4 days later that I got a call back, and I was like, oh, I guess I didn't mess it up too badly. And
how did they make an announcement? Was it a phone call, or was it you had to read about it, or they're like, what was the announcement?
Well,
ironically,
I was on set filming Unseen when I found out. So I was on set filming, and we were in the middle of nowhere in Palmdale. So you had like three different corners that you could get phone service on. So I'd gone to film a scene, and I came back, and as I hit service, I got a bunch of notifications from a group chat from my manager at the time and then my agent, and it was both of them saying like, call me, call us.
Wow.
And I'd been, a lot of people don't know is that when you're getting down to a chemistry read for something, you generally have already signed your paperwork, even if you don't have the job, because they need to know that if once they give it to you, you can go to film. So you might have signed the paperwork, but if you don't get the job, you've still signed the paperwork. It just becomes voided. So I'd already signed my paperwork. They were going back and forth about my like visa status. I was on a visa at the time, my work visa, and I mean, it was back and forth. And so I saw all these texts, and my first thought was, oh gosh, something with the paperwork's not worked.
Yeah.
So I've missed something. Oh no, what have I done? And I get a text from my manager just saying, call me. So I pick up the phone, and he says to me, yeah, Pam, who was my agent, actually, who's now my manager, said I can do this without her. And I was like, oh dear, because when both people get on the phone, it's either really great news or really terrible news. And so I was like, okay, what is it? And I knew we were waiting to hear. And he said, so I've got good news and bad news for you. I was like, oh no. And he said, the good news is that they loved you. And I was like, oh no, because it's when they start with that, it's like, oh dear. And the bad news is you didn't get it. But he says, the bad news is you're going to live in Toronto for 3 months. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
awesome. So I found out on set. So that that's call awesome. Was like, I was in the car with my mum, someone else in the crew, and then Ryan Brown, who was the lead in Unseen. And that was like a very special moment for me because it was very stressful making that phone call because I didn't know what to expect. And then I was filming something at the same time, and it was like, it had been so many months of work building up to it that it was, I cried a lot that day.
Wow, that's awesome. It was also, what would help that you were on the set is because even, let's say the worst case scenario was bad.
Yeah.
You were, at least your mind was like, it was occupied doing something else versus like just sitting at home somewhere.
But. Exactly. And then crying myself to sleep.
But anyway, so what we're going to do, we're going to jump really quick to a song.
Yes.
And then we'll come back and talk about your new film.
Yes.
It's a documentary.
It's my directorial debut.
Which is awesome to kind of see you go from, like I said, acting and producing and now directing, which is the story of Terry Moore, aka the story of Terry Moore, the last living legend of Hollywood. So what we're going to do, I want you to introduce this song. I don't know if you know her. By any chance, do you know Saint Heart?
I don't.
Oh, I thought, like, we see each
we
other.
We probably have a lot of mutuals.
Yeah, but she was on a guest, so maybe you could help me with this intro.
Yes.
So normally, okay, so I'm going to say the artist, and then you could tell me the title, and it's very easy title.
Okay, I'm ready.
So here he goes. So the title is, what is opposite of boys?
Girls.
There you go.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, there's more. Okay, that is easy to remember.
Yeah, so,
this is what I've trained for my whole life.
Yeah. So, so Saint Heart. It's just the song's called Girls.
Beautiful.
And again, she's a lovely talent, a dear friend, Saint Heart. And I'm sure once you see her, you probably recognize her because she's. We have a lot of mutual.
For
a lot
sure.
of us have a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah.
So she. Yeah, I'm just gonna help promote her song Girls.
Beautiful.
And then so you know the title now, so I'm gonna do it one more time. So again, this is Isabella Blake Thomas going to introduce our song of the hour. Again, this is Saint Heart with the song
Girls.
Yeah. And we'll be back more with Isabella Blake Thomas, and we'll be talking about her new documentary. But also before that, any social medias, websites, all that kind of good stuff really quick.
Yeah, at @Isabella_B_T. That is Instagram, X, Facebook, all of the above.
Awesome, cool. And we'll be back more here with Isabella Blake Thomas. Again, here is Saint Heart with
Girls.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Now listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Felt just like a mystery. Where you went missing on me? Instead of you loving on me, was having fun with the bitches OT. You're stuck in your misery. Miserable, think about me. You should've been realer with me. I'd have been riding them streets with you, cause I know just what you like,
baby.
I hope you find it tonight.
Find it tonight, baby.
It might come as a surprise.
It might come as a surprise.
That's why. Them streets with you, cause I know just what you
like, baby.
I hope you find it
tonight.
It might come as a surprise. That's why I never told you
I
I like girls. I like girls. I like girls. I like girls.
That was Saint Heart with the song Isabella
Girls.
Again, we are back here. Again, if you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. But if you really, really like that song, check her out. That's Saint Heart over... Yeah, just check her out. That's at Saint Heart, I believe. Or just it's S-A-I-N-T... that she goes by, and H-E-A-R-T is her name. So again, that's Saint Heart, and the song is Girls, but she's out there on Spotify, all that kind of good stuff, YouTube, but check her out on her socials. Again, she's a lovely guest of the hour, and yeah, so it's great to, you know, have her on. So again, mm-hmm. Cool. So I don't know, what kind of music are you into, Isabel?
Honestly, my music varies. I am very heavily influenced just by the radio, because that's what I love to listen to. I mean, that's just what plays in my car. Yeah. But I equally have my playlists on Spotify that have a variety of genres and artists in them. I'm very into pop just because it's lighthearted and easy. I actually really enjoy listening to certain types of rap music. I like working out to rap music. It makes me want to lift heavy things.
Yeah.
So it definitely makes it easier. So I pick and choose, but I found a couple of really great female rap artists at the moment that I just think are awesome. And it's a whole side to rap that I hadn't really discovered until recently, thanks to Instagram,
if I'm being honest.
It's recommended a lot of great artists. And then I also love a bit of folk indie stuff too.
Who doesn't? Is your favorite music artist of all time, kind of thing, that you're like, I could always play all this anytime?
I mean, I'm really into Sabrina Carpenter at the moment. Okay. I love her music. I think it's really fun and upbeat and very like summer vibes. And I love her writing as well. So really listening to Sabrina Carpenter. I mean, I love Taylor Swift. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I love Hozier. I love his music. And I love the Lumineers as well. Obsessed with the Lumineers. I got to watch them at the Hollywood Bowl when they were here at the end of last year. And it was very special.
Awesome. Well, for those that don't know, we are back here with actress, producer, writer, and now director to your name, is Isabella Blake Thomas. And we're going to talk, let's go to the nitty gritty now. Let's just finish off the show. So obviously from a lot of people, again, we've talked about in past shows, a lot of her other body of work, but you know, if you want to check out her IMDb, she's got so much going on there. Also, you got a movie called Karma that's out.
I do.
Is it out now?
It's out on Xumo, X-U-M-O. It's an easy platform to find.
So it's Karma. Yeah. And because there's also another title, right? Or no?
It's Karma, Death at Latigo Springs is the full. I seem to have an obsession with having a colon in my in my titles, but yeah, it's Karma, Death at Latigo Springs. But if you type in Karma, it'll pop up.
Well, awesome. Well, let's talk about this cool film that you just it was your directorial debut.
It
premiered at the Holly Shorts Film Festival, the 20th anniversary.
Very exciting.
And this documentary, it's the Terry Moore. It's called the Terry
the
Moore
story.
The story of Terry Moore.
You're good.
It's a long time. The story of Terry Moore, the last living legend of Hollywood. But I mean, of course, the short title, The Story of Terry Moore.
Correct.
So tell the audience what this is about and what inspired you to do this particular documentary and this particular actress.
Yeah, well, Terry, I worked with Terry on a film in 2019 called Evie Rose, which is a project that I wrote and created based on the friendship that I had with a wonderful woman who was 100 when she passed away. And so Terry was in her early 90s at the time and said, I think I can play a 100-year-old. So we became very close. She's a very talented woman. I mean, she was nominated for an Oscar in 1953. She was married to Howard Hughes. She's been in movies like Beneath the 12 Mile Reef, Mighty Joe Young, Comeback Little Sheba with Shirley Booth and Burt Lancaster. I mean, her credits are ridiculous. When you look at her IMDb, it is absolutely insane. And Return of October, which is one of my favorite movies, which is one of Terry's. And so after doing this movie with Terry, we just became very close friends. I seem to have a thing about being friends with old ladies. People think it's because I have an old soul, and I do believe that. I very much connect to them. And I mean, the stories from this older generation are wonderful. So I connected with Terry. We became best friends, and I see her constantly. And last year in 2023, I turned to my mum and I said, you know what, I want to tell Terry's story. And she agreed with me, but we wanted to tell it from a perspective that people haven't before, which was, we didn't want it to be anything gossipy, tell-all, slanderous, because that's just not who Terry is. When you meet her, she is loving, caring, kind. That is, her life is just living by kindness, and that is exactly who she is. It is not fake. And so I wanted to tell her story in that way and show who she really is as a human being. And so for us, we wanted to sit down with her, and I have about 5 hours of footage of us talking, just me interviewing her, her sitting in her house. And I had to sadly cut it down to 20 minutes just to make it a short. But my goal is to have the full footage into a feature and incorporate interviews from other actors that she's worked with on projects, or people that love her, like Robert Wagner, who's now become a really good friend of mine because of Terry.
That's
shout
awesome.
Out to Robert. Leonardo DiCaprio. I know Quentin Tarantino is a big fan of hers. So that's the goal with the project. But right now it is a short. It premiered at Holly Shore, and it is Terry's life from her perspective, intercut with archival footage.
Oh, that's awesome. And so what was it like for you? Well, not only working with her on this, I mean, I have, this is the cool thing is, you managed to attract a lot, because I have an opportunity to interview her through the years as well.
Yes.
Very lovely as well,
she
as
is.
Like yourself and your mom. But so it wasn't surprising that you guys connected. But what was it different from you? You obviously got to work with her before, you got to become friends with her. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, now having the director sat with her, was what was different about that process for you?
Well, what was crazy is I hadn't realized that I directed it until I was in the edit, because for me, it was just about making something really special to tell this generation and era who Terry was, because not enough people know who she, I say was because of the career she had, but who she is. I mean, she's still around. She's 95. She's amazing. So I wanted to tell this story for her. And so getting into the edit, I suddenly realized, oh, I've directed this whole thing. I did it by myself. My mum produced it with me, but the directing was all me. The putting together the questions and the writing of the documentary was all me. And so the different experience that I had was, I think because Terry is so close to us and so special, I was really able to pull a lot of honesty out of her, which maybe another filmmaker that doesn't know her wouldn't be able to do. I was able to ask her questions about stories that she's told me or moments that she's told me about, and really get some beautiful visuals out of her. I mean, I took her back to talking about the time she was at the Oscars in 53, and I got her to close her eyes and really think about what it looked like, sounded like, smelt like, felt like. And she was able to remember all these things, and I have proof of these things existing, so I know she actually remembered them. And it is just, it was the most amazing experience, because I got to see Terry in a different way than just hanging out with her in her house.
Well, which is going to be cool. You're probably one of the few people that are going to have that kind of remembrance and something on, kind of that would live life longer.
Yes.
Just like or like this, the photographic image of you guys, that kind of stuff. For someone that's had such a long lasting career, and then you'll be able to always have that for years and generations.
Totally.
for people to look back on. And I think it's very cool for you to have done that. So how can people check it out? Or I know it just premiered at the Holly Shorts Festival.
It just premiered at Holly Shorts, which was, I mean, that was really full circle, because the fact that the Oscars happen at the Dolby Chinese Theatre now, and the fact that Terry was nominated for an Oscar, I mean, it really felt like full circle for me. And to have it at Holly Shorts 20th anniversary, I mean, it was a beautiful moment, and I was very honored to have it there. It's also at the Lady Filmmakers Festival in September in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
The festival runs from the 25th through the 30th.
So this is coming up.
It's coming
up. So again,
it's
so check it. So it's at the ladies.
It's the Lady Filmmakers Festival.
The Lady Filmmakers Festival.
Yep.
September 25th
through the 30th is the 25th through the 30th is the festival. I I think it's screening on the 29th. I have to double check, so don't quote me on that.
But check that out. That's going to be in LA.
Yes, that's in LA. It's in Beverly Hills at the Fine Arts Theatre. And then I'm hoping to get it onto the documentary channel. It's a little complicated with archival footage. Yeah. So once that's all sorted and cleared up, then it'll be on the documentary channel too. So, and also once it's done its festival route, I'm going to put it everywhere anyway, because I want everyone to see it.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Time runs by quick. But,
I know.
So it's the story of Terry Moore.
Correct.
Again, it just debuted at the Holly Shorts Film Festival, and now it's going to be at the Lady Filmmakers...
Yes. Filmmakers Festival. Yeah,
Lady Filmmakers Festival coming up September 25th. If they want more information on it as well, they just go to your mother and daughter.
The film itself, there's more information about it on our website, motherandaughterent.com. Lady Filmmakers, I believe, is just ladyfilmmakersfestival.com or ladyfilmmakers.com, but if you Google it, it'll pop up, and that's where it'll be screening next. And it's also just always all over my Instagram, so any screenings or any releases will just be updated on there as well, which is at Isabella, 1s2ls _b_t.
And then other than that, if you don't want to see the story of Terry Moore, well, you should.
There's definitely.
Also, she's got a movie called Karma, mm-hmm. which you wrote. Wait.
I wrote, produced, and starred.
That's
in it.
That's another mm-hmm. one with a lot of great cast too. Yeah. Which actually had Rich Ting, who's blowing up as well.
We love Rich.
He was on the show here.
He's doing so well at the moment. Shout out to Rich.
Yeah,
he's
shout
so
out to
talented,
Rich Ting.
Deserves
Rich
all of
Ting.
This.
So, but he's also stars with you in Karma as well.
He does.
So, well, yeah, oh, man, time went out really quickly. But
well, actually, one more thing I just want to say, because you're the first one to hear this in public. I just found out I got into the Producers Guild.
So I'm now
officially a member of the PGA, which I'm very
that
honored
is
to be.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. And with all this producing coming up, like, it's really nice to know that I'm a part of that guild and to have these incredible other producers around me and legitimately say I am a producer. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, another little announcement.
Well, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm very, very, very proud of you. Seriously. So great to see you just blossom, not only as a human being, but also as a professional. You've always been a consummate professional. With myself, but also a dear friend. So I'm very, very, very honored to say you're a friend of mine, but also just honored just to see you just to see you grow. And I'm so proud of you. So again, so congratulations
thank
one
you.
More time.
I really appreciate that.
Big shout out to your mommy.
Yes, my
Elizabeth
mommy.
Blake Thomas. Check out Mother Daughter Entertainment.
Yes.
Mother Daughter Entertainment. And again, the film is The Story of Terry Moore. Mm-hmm. Going to be out there in festivals again. And then check her out, Isabella Blake Thomas, mm-hmm. On her socials, all that kind of good
stuff. Well, I also have a website. I forgot. It's IsabellaBlakeThomas.com. Forgot about that one.
IsabellaBlakeThomas.com.
It's newly updated, yeah. So I forgot about it.
Well, end up the show. The show's about inspiring others. You've always given such great words of wisdom. And again, for this audience out here, from around the world here, we always want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you leave off with people that people want to do what you do, maybe become an actress, a filmmaker, writer, producer, or just follow their dreams in general?
I would say, and I do, I really say this every time, I'm on anytime someone asks me for inspirational information or quotes in any way, this is what I say. Just keep doing it. Keep going. It is about tenacity, is about longevity. Eventually, even if it's hard, eventually you might just be the last one standing, but at least you made it. It's really just about fighting and pushing through it. It shouldn't be tumultuous, so don't torture yourself through things, but keep going, push through the hard times. It is worth it, whatever career you choose to go through. You can do it. It is possible. Just keep doing it.
Well, thank you, Isabella Blake Thomas.
Thank you.
God bless you. And again, I wish you the best of luck with this new film, The Story of Terry Moore.
Thank you.
Also you being part of the PGA.
I know.
And then just a lot of great stuff. And then you're also in development as well with a bunch of stuff. So if you guys ever want help or seek help.
Please. Advice, mentoring, opportunities, any of it, reach out to us.
That's Mother and Daughter Ent.
Yes, motherandaughterent.com. There's a submission form on there to reach out to us and just put it in the subject line and we will get back to you. I mean, I'm generally the one checking these messages, so let me know.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. Again, thank you all for tuning in again. Again, this is Isabella Blake Thomas, and thank you all. God bless you guys. I like to end off my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.
Bye.